What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 280. And as always, our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives a little kickback and keeps the podcast going. Here with me is my co-host Ryan. What's going on?
Just making some last minute mic adjustments. It was like bugging me and my friend here. I'm kind of like just...
I feel like I'm like too zoomed out, but if I...
Hey, you're having a couple of camera issues. Oh, that was... Oh,
yep. I think that's a little bit better. But talking about... Okay, so talking about Amazon.
Okay.
They're like, typically, their search is like really good. You know, you search for something, you find it. But recently, they've been like... putting stuff in my search results that I've like looked at previously that has nothing to do with my search results. It's kind of crappy.
I don't like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And just and they do that too.
That I asked for.
Yeah. So and recently, so if you go to like Amazon.com /deals, like that's all their deals that are going on. And then there's like they're set into sections like you know, photography, electronics, computers. And I go in the computers one and then it has like two or three items that have nothing to do with computers, like nothing at all, like a refrigerator, like not even like even worse than that. Like workout equipment is in with like, you know, because maybe I looked at it and it's in there. I don't like that. I'm not a fan of that.
So you think they're doing it on purpose and it's not just
it's 100% on purpose.
Yeah.
100% on purpose. So the evils of Amazon continue.
Oh, hey, remember, don't forget, we have more than just camera gear. Don't forget that fridge you just looked at. We've still got it.
Yeah. I still, you know, as bad as some of the Amazon policies have been, I guess Walmart is pretty close as far as their shipping, but you still can't get that like next day or 2 day like guarantee that Amazon does. That's why a lot of people still will use it because it's just so convenient. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, you're going to get the product. And they, over the past couple of years, they have got really a lot better at like, you know, they take a picture when they deliver it. So, you know, it's delivered and like all that kind of stuff that like, you know, all, you know, Target, Walmart, all these other places won't, they'll just be like, yeah, it was delivered. I don't, you know.
Yeah. We don't know where we put it, but yeah, the guy said he delivered it.
Yeah. So
yeah,
convenience.
I still don't get a picture every time from them on a delivery.
Yeah. Same here. I don't know if they like change that or sometimes I will, sometimes I won't. Yeah. And recently, they've said stuff was delivered, and it was not delivered at all. They have no proof. Like, I think, like, delivery guys just, like, taking it. Because, you know, the delivery people, it's just like Uber. It's the same. Well, not, like, just like Uber, but, like,
for some of them, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of, like, the same thing. So it's, like, are they just, like, saying it's delivered, and then it just never... Like, I've had stuff that just would never show up. Because I've had stuff that I would order, and it said it was delivered, but then it comes, like, 2 days later... But then I've had stuff where it just doesn't show up ever, which is just weird. I don't know how that happens. So in any case, this obviously isn't a podcast about Amazon. We're just going on a little rant there about Amazon. This, of course, is tech podcast. We have a lot of tech to talk to you guys about this week. Some cool products that I had a chance to review and some interesting news stories. If you want to follow along, we do have our full show notes page, which is linked in the description of the video wherever you're watching this, where you can follow along and see everything that we're going to be talking about this week. And let's start off. Was it last week or was it the week before? It was last week. Or no, it was the week before. Okay. We talked about that Corsair K55 RGB Pro XT, which was, I think, was it $59?
Full size. Very affordable.
Yep. Yeah, full size keyboard, but it wasn't mechanical. But it was an affordable full-size keyboard. We talked about, you know, the price was pretty good for what you're getting. This week, we have another very affordable keyboard. This one comes in at $49, and it has mechanical key switches, which is pretty awesome.
A bump up, yeah, from the Corsair, sure.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to sneeze. So if I do, I'll just, yeah, I don't know. But I'm ready. Anyways, I guess here in California, like, it's not because it's nice all the time. There's not like an allergy season.
It could be any time, depending on like what you're allergic to, I guess.
Yeah. But anyways, back to the keyboard here. This is from Gamedius or Gamedius, G- Gamdias. This is our Hermes M5. And there's two things that really stand out. One, it's the price. $49, full-size mechanical keyboard. Secondly, is the colorway that's on the keyboard itself as far as the keycaps. Typically, there are a few keyboards, like obviously the one that I use is my daily driver right here, that has a cool keycap set that comes stock. But most of the time, you're either going to get a white keyboard or a black keyboard, right? Yeah, when it comes to your keycaps, that's especially gaming keyboards, that's what you're getting.
And but then you'll maybe get like some WASD that are like different colors or something sometimes. But yeah.
Yeah.
Typically, so, monocolor.
Yeah. So on this keyboard, you're getting this light blue and white design, which I think is incredibly attractive. It's going to look awesome on your desk. I'm a big fan of white keyboards in general, but adding the light blue keys just make it pretty cool, I think. Overall, the design of the keyboard is very minimalistic. As you can see, not much of the keyboard is wasted at all. We have no extra keys or anything like that. You do get four multimedia keys. These are actually true keys. They are mechanical switches on here for your multimedia, but beyond that, nothing else extra. You do have an aluminum top plate, but the rest of the keyboard is plastic, and picking it up, it is a lot lighter than other mechanical keyboards. I'll say that. The switches, I don't know who the OEM on the switch is. They just say they're Gamdia switches. This keyboard is available just in blue, which is a clicky switch, which I'm a huge fan of. If you've listened to this podcast for any amount of time, you know that I'm a fan of the clicky switches, and these have blues, which are made to mimic a Cherry MX blue. I have to say that I don't think there's any, at least in my opinion, especially when it comes to blues and greens, nobody has made a switch that perfectly mimics the Cherry MX switch. It's just, you can tell the difference. Especially if you're like me and you review a lot of keyboards,
you have a lot to compare against, and you can tell.
Yeah, sure. But these are true mechanical switches, which we didn't get in that Corsair keyboard. Obviously, if you've used a mechanical keyboard and then like a membrane or a dome switch, a scissor switch or anything like that, you know, a mechanical is going to feel 10 times better. And this keyboard definitely does. We do have a permanently attached cable. It's definitely one of the cheapest cables that I've ever seen on a gaming keyboard. It's nice that they made it white to match the keyboard, but beyond that, it's rubber, it's cheap. And what's really interesting is that most keyboard cables are 6 feet. This is 5 feet. Not that it makes a difference. At least in my setup, I don't have issues with length, obviously, but yeah, that's kind of one of the places.
It's a very affordable keyboard, so you can't get everything awesome on it. So I understand.
The keycaps are ABS, but they're the typical stem, so you can put different keycaps on here if you want. But the whole idea behind this keyboard is that it's, you know, it looks great as it is with the two different colors, so you're not really going to want to change that all that much. You do get the height adjustment, which a lot of keyboards in this price range don't have for some reason. They're actually put at a pretty steep angle by default, but here you do get some adjustment as well. And as far as the lighting on the keyboard goes, you don't get RGB. You get what they call ice blue, which, as you can see here, it does match pretty well with the keyboard. I think that they've done a great job making keycaps and, you know, just a whole overall design of the keyboard that looks good together. You don't need RGB here. I think it's not necessarily going to look great if you have RGB lighting on this. I think a white would have looked good too, but you just get the ice blue. And like I said, I think this is going to look awesome sitting on your desk. It's a good looking keyboard.
Yeah. I like the look of it. I obviously wish it had RGB lighting on the keys, but at that price point, I can understand why they don't. But I think that color scheme with the light blue lighting looks really good.
Yeah, like definitely. I said, I think that it goes, everything just goes well together for that price point. I think it's good. Now, the problems that I do have with this keyboard is that a couple of things. We'll talk about the lighting. So the lighting, you do have controls on the keyboard for lighting. There is no software with this, but the controls on the keyboard are only for lighting. So you can cycle through, I think, 5 or 6 different effects. You can also do per key and program it. It's not all that difficult to program, but again, no software. Also, no software for reprogramming the keyboard, and they're calling this a gaming keyboard. Well, if I have a gaming keyboard, I want to create macros. I want to, you know, have the ability to reprogram my keyboard. Mm-hmm. Nothing like that on this keyboard at all. Secondly, the keycaps, it just feels a little bit wobbly to me compared to other mechanical keyboards that I have. I don't know if that's the Switch or the keycaps per se, but it just didn't feel as good.
I noticed the stems in the one image you were showing when you were showing the Switches themselves. They look similar to, I mean, they've got the kind of the cross for the standard MX keycaps, but they're like rectangular stems there that go down into there. So I wonder if that has anything to do with it. Maybe it's not just tight enough.
And it's not
tolerances to keep it from wobbling.
It's not as much like when you get into gaming or when you get into typing, it's not that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. It's more or less I was missing keystrokes, and that is a big deal. Sure. You know, like I'd be typing, I'd be like, you know, when you first get a keyboard and you get used to it, you miss keystrokes. Yeah. That's how I felt sometimes. And I'm like, why am I missing this? I've been using this keyboard for like 3 weeks. You know what I mean? It's like that type of thing. So that is one of the things I didn't like about the keyboard. There is a little bit more give on this keyboard as well, because you do have that aluminum top plate, but it's not the keyboard just felt light to me. You know, but you can't complain. At $50, I think it's a great keyboard, especially if you are one of those people who really like the custom keyboard look, but you're not spending $100, $200, $300. I mean, if you're building your own keyboard, I mean, $500, $600, $700 on a keyboard, but you want that cool look that looks like, you know, something like maybe he did design it. The only thing I you know, I think that's kind of the crowd that they're going for. It would have been nice to have a detachable USB cable, because a lot of times those people want to get a coiled cable made later, you know. That would have been nice on here. But for $50, I really can't complain all that much. It does have its downfalls, so I gave it an 8 out of 10. Check it out. If you're kind of strapped and you want a true mechanical full-size keyboard that looks really cool, check this one out, because like I said, I like it. I'm still stuck on this, like obviously this one, but if I was on a budget, this would definitely be one that I would consider. And again, it's going to, regardless of some of the issues that I had with the Switches, it's still going to feel 10 times better than a non-mechanical keyboard at this price point. It just is. It's just how things work, you know. So go ahead and check that out. I also took a look at some memory from PNY's gaming brand, which is Accelerate Gaming. It's their Epic X RGB. This is the first Accelerate Gaming product that we've looked at, I believe. I don't remember us reviewing anything else from them. Of course, everybody knows Accelerate Gaming from, you know, PNY's graphics cards. But they're, you know, they make a few other things. They make SSDs and memory. So this is their 16 gigabyte kit that runs at 3600 megahertz. And I would say the design overall is pretty standard. It doesn't really, like, it doesn't stick out like the Thermaltake one did. I mean, if you look at the modules, black PCB, black heat spreader, Accelerate logo in the middle, heat spreader at the top, kind of like, I call this like a wing design almost, because it, you know.
Yeah, kind of like a wing or boomerang type of, is what it reminds you of, yeah.
Yeah. And like I said, they're good looking modules. They don't stand out all that much. They have the Accelerate logo on the top of the diffuser here. And if we go into like the RGB lighting is good. There's 5 RGB LEDs on each module. They look good. The modules are compatible with every major motherboard manufacturer's RGB software. PNY does not include any of their own software, which I was kind of bummed out, because we tested this on like Gigabyte motherboards, and Gigabyte motherboards, like their RGB Fusion 2.0, I think is so bad. I'm not a fan of it. There's not a whole lot of customizing things, and like their preset effects are very boring. So by default, these will run like a rainbow wave. But if you do have like a better, you know, I think ASRock is really good, and I think that ASUS's RGB software is really good as well. But it would be nice if PNY had their own software. Just if you just wanted to, you know, have a little bit more customization, you could have had it. But overall, I think the lighting looks good. It's, again, it's like most kits that have a diffuser. It's not.
Is it diffused very well? Because these pictures look like the LEDs are pretty noticeable. I didn't know if it's just the pictures or
I think it's,
it looks better in person.
It's more the pictures. I wish I thought I had another one. It's more the pictures. It is decently diffused, but there is only five in here.
Right.
So you don't get as much covered. So you get the dead spots.
Spots in between, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. That is kind of, I would say, standard. There's only a few companies putting more than five in here. So again, something to think about. You can see how it was easily detected by the RGB Fusion software, and you can do all that. But again, if you look at it, like RGB Fusion has like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 effects, not a whole lot.
Not a
whole lot in there. So and performance is good overall. You can see where it kind of sits in our testing, pretty much the middle of the road out of the kits that we've tested recently, RGB kits. You know, it, like I said, it's a good overall kit. The biggest thing with this kit that I didn't like is that I could not push it past 3600 megahertz at all. Most kits we can get at least 200 megahertz without touching voltage or timings. Most kits will just do it. And this isn't, I mean, 3600 megahertz isn't all that high. So I was like, oh, I could easily, you know, but it wouldn't even give me 100 more megahertz, even by pushing the voltage up to 1.45 volts. I mean, it just wouldn't. So this is a kit that you're going to put in your computer. You're going to match it with the motherboard's RGB software, and you're not going to overclock it. And a lot of people are just looking for that. A lot of people don't care about the, you know, the overclocking headroom because they're not going to touch it. And overall, I think this kit looks good. It's a solid kit. It just doesn't overclock, doesn't have its own software. So again, I gave this a 9 out of 10. Or an 8 out of 10 as well. It's $104, which puts it in line with pretty much all 16 gig kits running at 3600 megahertz. So yeah, pretty cool kit there. That brings us to KSMOD Friday. And this week we have a very cool build. I don't think we featured this modder before. This is from Modder W. And this is... familiar. Yeah, this is a Zotac themed build, as you can see by the name. It's called Zotac Gaming PC. And I just think that this, like, how it just looks like the top of the case was kind of like cut off.
And... it looks like a futuristic city, like from a movie or something, you know, like you see these like, future buildings and shapes. That's what it reminded me of when I saw it at first.
Yeah, it just,
it's really cool.
Yeah, I like it. It looks really cool. You can see like the whole setup that they've done and everything.
Of course, they've got it with Cyberpunk. So yeah, it's very futuristic. Yeah,
very futuristic looking. We get a close up of the water. And some of the things that are like understated that you don't really see is you do have the clear power supply cables. You can buy these. I don't know if they made them, but how they actually go into the acrylic here, they cut each hole, which is like, that's something I would not do. Yeah. So you can see that there, close up of the water block here and the memory, just really cool stuff. I think, and just, I mean, this is going to look awesome on your desk. It's going to look
awesome.
They
using that Tai Chi motherboard? One of those showed like the gears.
Yes. They're using the Z590
Tai Chi. That same board. Bottom. Yeah. There you go.
This awesome. Is the same board that I reviewed, Z590 yep. Tai Chi. And what would you call this? The gear? Yeah, the gear. Uh-huh. This gear does move in the motherboard. Right. It's the first one to do it. We've been talking about them doing it for so long.
Forever.
So it's pretty cool. Pretty cool feature of that board. But overall, like I said, I think this is just a really sleek. Here's a front view of it. I mean, how awesome would that be just sitting on your desk? I like it.
Yeah, it looks good. Go to that bottom left one again. This,
This one
left. Yeah.
My other left. Yeah.
Yeah, your other left. Okay.
That so is black, my actual left. Like
black fittings with a chrome tubing, it looks like. Very nice.
Yeah. Very cool.
Okay.
I'm more impressed with the case than anything. There wasn't a whole lot of information on this one as far as like, I don't believe that this is a case that you can buy. Well, it might be, but it was modded heavily.
I was going to say, I feel like it is, and they've modified something. I don't know
is, but. Yeah, me neither. But sleek little desk setup. There you go. You can just take notes from this. Look how clean and nice and uncluttered it is.
That ain't happening anytime soon.
Yeah, you got to get on that. But here's another picture of that gear. Right there. It's just a cool one. Again, Modder H or Modder W, sorry. We have his Facebook linked in the article if you want to check it out. But look at it. Like this is like is good of say I was a great modder. Doing this
that's a lot of work.
Yeah. Cutting all the holes into this
sure.
Yeah, this water cooling blocker. Yeah, and then routing everything and make sure that's not a Bob thing at all. So great work by Modder W. Definitely check it out on the site for sure. There's really cool stuff there. And that brings us to news. And we have some very interesting stories, I would say. First, we're already getting leaks for Intel's next gen stuff.
It's crazy.
It seems so early, but this is it's a QS, so that's qualification sample. It's not an E. I don't think this leak is from an ES, which would be an engineering sample. Yeah. So we're far. It's far out. But the first leaks on the Core i9 12900K have come out, and it says it's going to hit a turbo clock of 5.3 gigahertz. That would be the same as the 11900K. I'm getting these names missed. As we go up, I always just forget what they are. There's all these leaks about, you know.
11900K does go up to 5.3.
Yeah, so it would be the same. The big change with the next generation, it's going to be the Big Little design. If you guys aren't familiar with the Big Little design, it's we have big cores and then we have big little. So we have big cores and then we have little cores. Bigger cores run obviously more power hungry. The little cores are more efficient, and those working together provide a more efficient, we would hope, more powerful system. And everybody talking about Windows 11. Windows 11 will take advantage of that design, I think, from what we've heard. But yeah, so it looks like this will have the same speeds as, or at least in this sample that has been leaked, will have the same speeds as the 11900K. A lot of people were saying it would go up to 5.5 gigahertz. Again, this is a QS, not an ES. So, you know, this can all obviously change. But this is an interesting part. It's going to have 8 big cores and 8 small cores. So it's going to be, I mean, you know, we were always used to having the whatever amount of cores, they're the same, you know. And now this is going to be a big change, and I think it'd be interesting to see how developers and game companies take advantage of that type of architecture. I think it's going to be
I don't know that you'll see it necessarily in gaming so much, but definitely other applications that just don't need the full horsepower of a CPU to run efficiently or take advantage of even.
Yeah, and I think go ahead.
Just kind of like idling or like some basic browser or application use can really take advantage of some of those lower cores. And if you can address them, like say you are in a game, like put the heavy stuff on the bigger cores. And then if you have maybe an audio, like built-in chat or something that can run on the lower cores, just fine. Yeah. All sorts of stuff you can do.
Mostly, like I said, it's going to be very efficient. I think we'll see power. Mm-hmm. Hopefully power requirements go down because they've been going up when it comes to CPUs. You know, I think what's the the like the normal desktop. What's the 11900K? The CPU is it 125 watts? And that's if you don't. I mean, it goes a lot higher than that, but in any case, power requirements. Yeah, so power requirements will definitely go down. So first, I was actually surprised when I read the story because I was like, this seems very early to be getting leaks for the next gen Intel, considering it seems like we just got
11.
Yeah, but what's I think too is it is going to be a little bit of a rushed launch because again, we're going to have DDR5 coming out towards the end of the year, and they're going to want to launch with that. So we shall see. Talking about Intel and processors, we know we're in a global chip shortage. Hopefully that's slowing down on both the CPU and GPU side, but there are a lot of places where you can't even get them in stores, and they sell secondhand for a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And it looks like a lot of people are trying to smuggle CPUs out of China. Which I didn't necessarily think that was illegal, but I guess it is.
I guess if you're smuggling them, there's got to be something not legit.
Yeah, them. I mean, they might be stolen, obviously. Right. But it's like, yeah, I guess. But anyways, Chinese customs officers seized a bunch of processors, i9 10900Ks, i7 10700s. And here they all are. If you go to the actual article from HKEPC, you can see that this looks like it would normally be narcotics. I mean, this is what you see in movies. Like that's how this person had these on them. And I don't know. I don't know what type of fine or jail time that this person would receive for this, but I assume those are selling for at least twice the price, twice the retail wherever they're going, right? To make it worth for this person to to do that. But again, that's pretty crazy because you think like, oh, you can get CPUs anywhere, but I guess not. Apparently and I not. Guess that I don't know if China has specific import export rules for I don't know how that works, but if somebody's doing this, there has to be some type of rules where you can't just, sell it on eBay, obviously, to another country or something. You know what I mean? So that's just pretty crazy story. One of the few crazy stories we have this week. The second one, at least I think that's next on the list. Well, this one's actually really good for all of you guys the biggest story that we've been talking about for the past 6 months is GPU shortage and how nobody can buy GPUs at retail. It's supposed to be getting better. And I think one of the best things about it is that China did have the crackdown on cryptocurrency. So all of the people who were mining, and I don't know, do you know what they cracked down on specifically?
No, I haven't followed the news on that.
Well, in any case, China did crack down on cryptocurrency mining operations. So all of these mining operations, big and small, have been selling off their hardware. And there have been posts on multiple forums of people selling all their hardware. And I mean, a 3060 was selling for $270.
That's pretty amazing.
You can see all these cards that are, these miners had because they, they can't, they're not, it's illegal to mine or I don't know what laws they were breaking in China. But
I saw, and it's kind of funny, like these are, they're getting rid of them. I saw an ad but a post about the Asus Gundam version, I think.
Yeah.
The 3090, that just awesome looking card being used and available in mining rigs. And you're like,
yes,
that card is pretty limited edition anyways.
It's one of the most
10 of them in this mining rig is kind of disheartening.
Yeah, it is crazy to see. So you see these big mining operations and you're like, you know, this isn't even a big one. I mean this is probably what, like 50 cards, 60 cards. Least.
Yeah, it's
you know, like that's not a massive mining operation. Some of the ones that I saw, I've seen over the past couple of years are, you know, but still, I mean, for people in China, I mean, this allows them to buy secondhand cards for an incredibly cheap price.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully, again, I don't think we'll see this.
We're not going to see those prices here.
Yeah, at least not yet. We're not going to see them. I have seen people. A lot of people over the past couple of weeks have sent in pictures, and you see them on Reddit, of them like getting 30, 60, 70, 80, 90s at retail for like a normal price.
Good.
So, yeah, so good. So, yeah, I mean, there's just, you know, people are selling
again.
Yeah, people are selling. This person was selling a lot of laptops that they were using for mining. Like all this stuff is just crazy. Yeah, just wild. Just the big sell-off. Well, I think didn't we have the big sell-off like 5 or 6 years ago when like mining, what, you know, just we had, there was off. A yeah, the big downturn. Was it like the, it wasn't, was it the 480s? Or is that,
I don't think the 480 was that popular.
I don't know. I just remember there was like whatever AMD card, there was so many because like all the miners just got rid of them at once. Well, if you can get your hands on any of these cards, definitely do it because they're selling at good prices. Another crazy story this week. These are all like based
crypto,
around
crypto. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if the CPU smuggling one was right about crypto. But this one is very interesting. First time I've seen it. 3,800 PlayStation 4 consoles were set up in a mining operation. And this was an illegal cryptocurrency mining setup. I don't know what, again...
illegal, like, versus legal?
Yeah, like what makes these legal or illegal?
Yeah, I don't. Well, I think on this story, I had seen that they were using power illegally.
Oh, yeah. That's usually what happens.
Was what this one was. Yeah, you get caught like, hey, what's the deal with this place using all this power all of a sudden?
Yeah. But you can see all the PlayStation 4s here, and they were using the PlayStation 4s to mine cryptocurrency.
This looks like a pretty like legit setup, too. Almost.
Yeah.
Very professional looking. It's clean. It looks like over stacked against the wall, like they have all the boxes for them almost, so they could like sell them when they're done.
Yeah,
maybe
all the fans up.
All the fans blowing in air, exhausting air in the place. Yeah, managed cables, the racks are. Yeah,
yeah. So yeah, just who would it? I mean, like these. I would just like love to like walk in these places just to see. Even like the crazy crypto setups, like I would love to like walk into one and just see racks and racks and racks. Like it's just something cool to see, you know. Yeah. So in this raid, this is in the Ukraine, by the way, 50 processors, 500 graphics cards, and 3,800 PlayStation 4 consoles. That is very, very interesting. We have an old man in the chat. Good to see you here. And he said, yeah, they must have been stealing power. There's no way that would be profitable otherwise. Yeah, that's the biggest thing. I think that was the big China. I think that was the big thing in China was like there's certain parts of China more remote that like power was like dirt cheap. And obviously all the miners were taking advantage of that. And then I guess China cracked down on that. This one's in the Ukraine, so probably the same. They like plugged into the place next door, like
or just whatever. Like all these extension cords running across. You're like, what's up with this?
Or something. So, very, like I said, very, very interesting to see this. Wonder if like, so I'm sure this is in the Ukraine, but imagine like the FBI. They're used to like catching like drugs and very, very bad things, and you're on this thing, and you're like, oh, we gotta, these guys are, you know, you walk into a place and you're used to like going into like a drug raid, and you go into this place and it's just like four nerds and like racks
of blowing and
Yeah. And like a bunch of Red Bull or energy drinks just sitting there, and you're like,
yeah,
what?
And like,
yeah,
graphs watching crypto prices, right? Like,
yeah,
what are you guys doing in here?
Yeah, I'd be like, oh, nothing, you know, nothing. Like, it's,
and like,
yeah,
expecting guns to be pointed at them or the potential. There's,
yeah, very, very, like I said, a lot of, I think we'll see more of this too, as one, the, when, you know, the China's crackdown, we've seen so many really interesting stories, and then all of these you know, people doing the mining, they're going different places and just like setting up, and sure, you know, we're gonna see some more very interesting stories. But back to normal hardware, the first picture of the EVGA X570S dark motherboard has been posted online. This one's posted by Kingpin, who is EVGA's resident modder, and they do a lot of products in collaboration with him. And he posted the back of the board, which does have the dark logo with the Ryzen. What is that? A circle? Is that what you call that?
Sure,
a Ryzen circle on the back. And again, we can discern a few things from this picture. Definitely. One is that the CPU,
that's the first thing I noticed. I was like, is, what's, yeah, up with that?
Is turned sideways. This is going to make much more room if you're putting, this is an overclocking board, so if you're going to be putting like an LN2 pod on there or whatever, a lot more room for all of that. We can also see that, you know, this is going to use single DIMM, single channel DIMM slots, which is kind of expected. That's more of an EVGA thing, especially on their overclocking boards. That's how most of them have been. You see that as well.
And it cracks me up, though, that there's like headers on the back for audio. Like, why even throw them on there?
As part of the chipset.
But yeah, no, this is exciting. That's cool.
Yeah,
I'm excited to see their other boards that aren't necessarily their dark board.
Do you think they're going to make more than one?
Yeah.
You think?
I think there's too much of a market for them to keep ignoring.
Yeah,
I want a piece of that pie.
Yeah. Also, as far as power, you're getting your normal 24-pin ATX, dual 8-pin EPS, and a 6-pin PCI Express. You can see the 6-pin down here towards the bottom. What else? Two PCI Express 4.0x16 slots and one X1 slot. 20 gigabit USB 3.2 Gen 2x2 Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, and a wired Ethernet that we can discern. And you have the Wi-Fi antennas there as well. Gonna be a cool board. I really want to see the other side. I always like EVGA's motherboard designs, especially like the heat sinks that they use and just the overall look of it. So I'm really interested to see. Obviously, it's gonna be matte black and black, right? You don't think they would make it because it's the dark board
with some white on there? I don't think so.
Yeah,
I think it'll be dark. They'll leave that white logo on the back, but yeah, it'll be a pretty
monochrome. At least this I mean, obviously we saw the teaser from EVGA, but like this is like, yes, this is real. There's an action. I mean, it's the board's here. So that's definitely exciting for sure. So.
Yeah, I'm really hoping they do come out with other boards, though, because I would definitely consider one for my next build. I've always been a fan of EVGA boards and products in general.
I think this would bring them to a whole different market, too. And maybe, like, I mean, when you think EVGA, you really don't think motherboards. You just don't.
Yeah, not most of the time.
And I think that, you know, over the past couple of generations of Intel, they've, like, done one or two boards. Previously they were doing like at least three. You had the dark, the for the win, and you had one other one. You had like the micro as well, so they had the micro ATX. So like it would be nice to have like a full range from them, and maybe this allows them to do that. They start with a dark and then go down the product stack from there. That'd be kind of nice. So what else do we have here? Oh, this is the Ryan's story of the week. Oops. I have very strong opinions on this too. We talked about it
yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday. So Corsair has launched a new, this is their Hydro X Series XD7. It's an RGB pump and reservoir distribution plate combo. So this looks like a set of fans, right? But it's not. basically what they've done is they made a reservoir slash distro plate that looks like fans. So when you install, say you install this in the front of your system, you still get that cool fan look that you would normally get if you had fans there. I get that.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, I mean, I would rather just have the distro plate there.
Yes. And I mean, I get it, because they're taking advantage of, like, okay, you know, pretty much every case is going to have the three cutouts at the front or whatever for to make it look like, you know, 320 milliliter fans. So I understand that design and look there. And they could go with a different looking distro plate that's more standard. I think this just sets them out and makes them a little unique. I'm not a huge fan of this product, though, because, I mean, in the case that they're showing it off in here, like on that image, you've got, can you go back to the other image, actually?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So they've got a radiator up top, right? Which actually doesn't look like it has any fans on it, which is kind of funny. And then they have the side fans, which look like they're hooked up to a radiator. So in their build, they're saying, oh, this one radiator is going to be enough for your system. To me, if you've got enough room, I guess, to have a spare 360 millimeters of radiator or fan space, this might make sense. But most folks, I would think, would want the either just the airflow from having fans there instead, or a radiator and fans, depending on what all is in there. So I mean, it's kind of neat, but I'm not a big fan of it.
I like, it makes sense, as you said, because most people are going to have this available. But I mean, look, I mean, it looks pretty bad. Even if you had the glass panel that goes on top of that, it doesn't look.
Yeah, I don't think it looks bad, but it at least with this case and the way they're showing it there, you have like all your cutouts for your fan mounting and everything. If it was just a rectangular cutout and they somehow figured out a way to attach this or make it look better, I think it could. But it's definitely not like as good looking as the 011 dynamic can with the distro plate there, right? I think that looks much better.
Yeah,
much better implementation.
It's interesting. I think that, one, it's very hard to be different in the water cooling space, right? Mm-hmm. And I think, again, this puts you in the Corsair ecosystem, because these are all IQ controlled, and you know, it gives you that Corsair look. That's, you know, good. I don't know, maybe if I saw it in person, my mind would change. But I would just, on this case, I would rather, you know, they like, just like the 011 dynamic that comes with the distro plate, or the in-wind cases that come with the distro plate. Like, I would rather buy the case designed with the distro plate in the front rather than put it in. Yep. Right.
Yep.
That's, I agree. Just me. Yeah. But that price. Let's see if it's on here. Let's $249.99. How do you feel about that price?
Nope. No, thanks. Too high. I'll take a 360 millimeter radiator with fans and a res pump combo for probably the same price.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, this is what it would look like with the tempered glass in front of it. Obviously, it doesn't look as bad because you can't see as much of the outline, but I would rather this whole glass, like this whole piece of glass, be the distro plate, right?
Yeah.
Rather than circles, but that's just me. So yeah. Like I said, good to see something different, but I'm just compared to a normal distro plate, I'm just not a fan. So
get it.
Now this is what you need, Ryan. This next thing is, I think this is
this is
right up your alley here. So I'm
just not a fan of these.
You're not?
No.
You wouldn't like want to game in this, like it's just like your gaming rig. No,
let's see it.
All right, so Cooler Master announced or revealed their Orb X, which is a semi enclosed workstation. I'm trying to, So this is, it looks like a little pod. It supports either a 49 inch monitor or 327 inch monitors. In the center here, it has a built in chair, built in like lap desk type of thing. I guess we could scroll through these pictures.
You think we're going to see this at CES?
Yes, 100%. And I guess this top part will slide up. Like I guess it's on a motor. The top part here will slide up so you can easily get in and out of their setup. Pretty cool. It would be a nice way to escape. I sit in front of this setup all day. Mm-hmm. And because I work here, gaming here, just like it's not as much of an escape, where this would be like a good escape to go gaming, if that makes any sense.
Does that make any sense? I mean, I assume would be more immersive, right? Oh yeah, there it is with it flipped up.
Yeah.
To get in and out. So especially if you have like a curved screen, right? That's pretty wide and kind of takes up a bit more of your peripheral. And if you can like maybe recline that seat back and kind of lose some more peripheral. Yeah. I could see it being immersive or more, a way to get away without actually leaving the house or something. But man, the space this takes up, and like old man says, hey, if you've got to ask the price, you can't afford it type of thing. Like,
yeah,
this is probably out of my price range.
How much do you think? So like, obviously it doesn't ship with a monitor, just the chair and the enclosure. What do you think? And as far as price, like, what do you think?
Am I crazy to think like $5,000?
Not so. I was thinking about that, like $35,000 to $7,000,
depending on what it's made out of.
And
like old man just said, is it motorized? Like, does that thing lift up, or is it kind of like on some spring assisted shocks or something?
The chairs
look nice.
Yeah, I don't know if that's leather. What that is, but it looks nice.
And looks like there's a ton of RGB lighting around it too.
Yeah. And like, this all looks like it's metal. It's not like plasticky stuff. So, I mean, it's pretty heavy duty.
Is that old man's guess for the price, or is that the actual price?
Is that the actual price? He says $8,999.98.
And then like the opening in the back, I'm assuming for your components.
So I guess you put your PC back there. I never thought about the PC part of it, actually.
Have a beige box sitting next to the sink.
Yeah, I assume that your PC goes back there somehow. And is this an actual case, or is this just a compartment?
A PC inside of. Mm-hmm.
It would be cool if that's like an actual, like you put hardware in there. You don't just put a case in there. Like you actually, it's cold and it's, motherboard tray in there and all that stuff. So you could,
because at the bottom there, underneath that, what looks like a panel is right there. Is that intake, right? Or is that like a cabling opening, we'll have to see.
Yeah. I want one. I don't know.
So it's got to be motorized. Look at that. It's got, those are for like speakers or
I don't know,
like recline. Oh.
We'll have to see. I need one. I'm sure this will be at CES. So we'll have to see here. Just going through these pictures real quick. It looks cool. I want one. Yeah, definitely. I'm a fan. I would never pay for it. I would never pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it was like $500. I'd never pay. And it's never going to be $500. So yeah, interesting stuff. Orbex, I'm sure we'll hear more about it. And this is like something for like very wealthy individuals or like Land Center.
That's like what I was thinking. You see those out at the mall,
events,
right?
Yeah, gaming events where you want to kind of have a cool thing. Like that's mainly what this is for. Mm-hmm. And Cooler Masters has showed these. Like they did have one at CES in the past. It was made by a different company. I'm sure they're probably working with that same company to develop these. It says hidden compartment with built-in sliding tray for PC rig or consoles. Very cool. Cooler Master, you can send me one of those over. Thank you. And our last story, which I'm actually pretty excited about, is about Battlefield 2042. If you're not caught up, that will be the new game coming out, new Battlefield game, slightly in the future, obviously 2042. A lot of interesting things that we already talked about, but the newest rumor is that the Battlefield Hub is coming back. And what the Battlefield Hub is doing is it's a mode that will allow you to play your favorite maps, vehicles, and weapons from past games. And it's not meant to be competitive. It's just meant to have fun. And that's obviously what games should be, to have fun. They shouldn't be to, you know, and that's what, that's like one thing with Battlefield games is that's why like I fell in love with them, because like the big battles and they were just so much fun. Whether you won or lost, you had like a lot of fun. So it's gonna be called the Battle Hub or Battlefield Hub. And they said some of the maps coming to it, if you're Battlefield, if you play Battlefield, Metro, Locker, Wake Island, Siege of Shanghai, Arica Harbor and Caspian Border. Obviously Siege of Shanghai and Caspian Border have like two of the best maps ever in Battlefield.
See, games. I like Wake Island from, I think I played that quite a bit in Battlefield 2.
So it'd be kind of cool. Like, I think that we look at all the remakes, not only games, but movies. Like, we are in that nostalgia area. Oh, yeah. And it would be great to have those, to be able to relive those old experiences in a new game, but kind of reimagined. But you get that kind of feeling back. I think that's awesome. I think that, I would, like I said, I think every game should do this. If it's a series of games, if you can play those epic maps or even storylines or whatever that you could do in the game, I'm all for it. And I think Battlefield is the perfect way to do that. So another reason for you and I to get the game and play it, I think. I mean, definitely be a fan of that for sure. So that is it for news this week, guys. Let's move on to what we have coming up next week. Talking about Corsair and being in their ecosystem. I'll be taking a look at their massive RGB mouse pad. This is their MM700. Works with IQ. It is RGB. It is a cloth mouse pad. It's pretty big, as you can see. It should take up this entire desk that I have right here, which I'm pretty pumped about. Like I said, it works with IQ, so you can match it with all your components if you are in the Corsair ecosystem. And it's not all, I mean, it's $60, but I mean, it's a full-size mouse mat as well. So I'll be taking a look at that. And then also I'll be taking a look at the Mushkin, which we haven't heard from in a little bit. They have Gen 4 NVMe SSDs. I'll be taking a look at their Gamma. Why is their website just not good? Their Gamma NVMe SSD, they sent over the 2 terabyte version. This is based on the Phison E18, which I have been talking about a little bit. And it is kind of going to be all of the aftermarket or companies that don't have their own controllers. Most of them will be using the Phison E18. So it should be pretty fast. I'm excited to check that out as well. So that is kind of what we have coming up next week. And
I need to move over to Gen 4 on this system.
Yeah. Sure. Get Gen 4 in your life, man.
I know.
I have been, so I've been thinking about this upgrading this system over here. And I think I'm 90% sure I'm going to do the 5950X.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I have an Asus motherboard. My biggest thing is I want all NVMe storage, right? And I use a lot of drives that I use for video editing and like certain things. Like I need more than 3 NVMe slots. Like that's just me.
You think?
Yeah, 100%. Because that's all the storage I'm using. So I need at least more than 3.
Yeah, but so, okay.
So I believe I have to see. I have the highest end
Asus board.
Yeah, ROG board that I believe, I could be wrong, that does come with the expansion card. If I have that and that, and now I'm working on the case. I think the case will be the O11 Dynamic. I just like that case. I mean, what case do you think I should go for? 3090 is going in there.
I don't know. The O11 Dynamic would be nice, but only if you water cool it.
Not water, not AIO.
Then don't go with that case. I don't know. Maybe I think you've always had Corsair cases since I've known you, really. Like, so maybe stick with something Corsair, one of their new cases. What was it, like the 700?
Well, the thing is
that we just.
So the reason I wanted to go with like a Li and Li case is because I do like their uni fans. I'm a big fan of the uni fan. They're uni fans because, one, there's not like a million cables. Corsair is like known for RGB, but there's still a lot of cables that you got to connect and all that. Yeah. The uni fan, you don't have all those cables, and it just makes it a lot easier. So I was going to get a bunch of uni fans, put them in the O11 dynamic, and do it kind of that way. But I don't know. That's what I've been thinking. But I'm not going to do it till like the end of the year anyways, just because obviously the reason I have to do it is for Windows 11, because this PC does not support Windows 11.
Well, officially, it'll run it.
I mean, there's no FTPM on this, you know? Yeah. So can't do it. But I do want to upgrade, because in all honesty, I love the 680X, but as far as cooling goes, especially with this 3090, it is not like I have to have the side panel open right now, like cracked open. So I'm not the biggest fan of that. So I don't know. We have to find a case. We have to find a good case.
Maybe a nice Fantex case. We haven't seen anything new from them in a while, it feels like, or nothing I've been super excited about, I should say.
I do have a case here that I can't tell you about that's pretty cool, that would be very good on cooling. Just say that. It's nice.
Okay.
Maybe that would be the route. Actually, that could be the route. Now that I'm thinking about it. We'll see. But I need something that's going to look nice sitting here in the backdrop of videos.
Yeah, I mean, definitely why you can go with an InWin of some sort. Definitely look nice.
We'll see. But that's what's been going on in my head lately. I haven't we talked about the Tomorrow War last week. If you haven't seen that on Amazon Prime, check that out. Beyond that, tech-wise, I did get the rooms. I finally got a C stand, which you can see the legs of. Maybe if I zoom out, you guys can see. No, zoom in. You can kind of see the C stand behind me. You can see the legs of it. And then I did get this new light a while ago, and it's nice because I can just turn it on and off. You can kind of see it going on and off there. But it's a really good video light. So the next video that you'll see on the YouTube that's not a podcast will look really good. So I was excited to get that stuff. But beyond that, I think that's all tech related.
Yeah, that stand was nice. I need something similar. I don't need a C stand like that. I need like one of the Elgato arms.
Yeah.
Is what would work best for me as far as spacing goes and attachment and floor space. So
Yeah. We were talking before the podcast. Like, I have a lot of floor space, I needed the C stand because this light, I have a big dome on it, and one, it's too heavy for, like, you can see the other light stand
tip over
on this. Yeah, like this light stand over here would tip over pretty much. So I needed that. But the C stand gives you the arm so you can kind of put it up over you, which is nice. So
I just went to Elgato's site to look at those arms, and they have an event on July 15th. That's tomorrow.
What's the event?
I don't know. It says Elgato event. July 15th, 2021 at 1900 GMT.
Would this be like a new product?
I don't know. I like literally just came across this, so maybe.
Does this go to Elgato event, create better. That's what I'll go back here.
Oh, and then there's a video. So yeah, Alpha.
Yeah, so if you go to their website and then go to tune in, then it says Elgato event, create better. Premieres in 17 hours. So, well, now this is something to talk about. So what do you think? It's create better. So do you think we're going to get some new Stream Deck?
Can we play that video? Let's see, or skip through it at least, and we'll see what. Okay.
What's that?
Oh, that's it's a case. But there's like ball and shapes. Okay, the shapes. Okay, that's a ring. Like, I see a light. I see. I don't know.
Maybe it's the thing that we've been looking for is the mobile streaming deal.
Or a webcam, a camera.
I don't know.
Who knows? But I'm glad I saw it.
Yeah, interesting news. So we'll definitely check the site because we'll definitely have info about whatever they are launching. It's interesting. What anything else you've been working on or tech related stuff? Nothing.
No, I got in the desk components for Assist and Desk. The desktop finally came in last week. So I got the legs unboxed. And man, I forget.
They're heavy.
I got them and I set them in one spot. And kind of was like, well, I know the desk, the tabletop isn't going to be here for a while, so I'll leave these here. And then I went to pick them up again. I was like, oh, I forgot how heavy this was. Yeah, so... No, that'll be exciting. Yeah.
Imagine having, how many did I have at one time? One,
like three.
I think I had, I had three standing desks at one time. Imagine moving those all. Mm-hmm. One, having to take them apart and then having to move them.
And keep all your screws and legs and everything organized to go.
Right here is like, there's two screws that are just completely gone. And it's like, it's not that it's on its last leg. The feet are fine. I want to get like a different type of tabletop because you can put any tabletop on these legs. You know what I mean? So have you seen those like resin tabletop?
Oh yeah, where they cut out and then they pour.
Yeah. Let me see if I
can do something like that.
No, because I can't afford it. Because they're like $5,000. Let me see if I can find one.
Just got to find some wood and some resin and you're going to go. Hold up. You're talking about wanting to do a van life van. How are you going to do that without a...
So like... Okay, here we go. I bring this up so you guys can see. So something cool like that. But like if you look at the size, like this isn't even as... Like I need a big tabletop and this one is...
So it's $300. Oh.
And this is 36 by 48. I need 36 by 72, I think. Something like that. Let me see. This is the cool one. This is the one that I really want. Like, look how cool that is.
Wow.
Like, that's amazing. Cool. This is only 25 by 15.
So it's like a little ledge in table.
Yeah, it's like it's very small. That's cool. Like that would be like the end goal, right? But that's just not in the budget. I think some of like the for the size I want and like something like this, it's like $5,000. And as much as I would love that, that's just too much money to spend on a desk. When I already have a tabletop that works fine. Put that like this tabletop works great. I was looking at like you ever heard of like the Living Edge ones that are basically like cut out of a tree?
Yeah.
Looking at something different, but this is like, computer first. Then maybe we'll upgrade some other stuff. And I have an office update video coming now that I have everything set up the way I want it. So that's coming there as well. Old man in the chat said he swapped out 2 4-terabyte WD red drive for 2 8-terabyte Seagate drives in my case. The WD reds are 5 years old. Yeah, I've had 2 WD reds die on me in my NAS over the past couple years. So I've never used a Seagate. I haven't used a Seagate drive in probably 10 years.
Wow. I think I have. I feel like I had some just recently, or well, I say recently within the last 5 years, but I don't remember what they were now.
Yeah.
The, that's what I was going to ask you is just regarding the motherboard and everything. And you wanting to use, you know, NVMe, like how much storage are you going to put in this thing?
Because
if you filled it up with 2 terabyte Gen 4 drives.
That's only 6 terabytes, bro. It's not as much. I would be fine with 1 terabyte. I mean, I need different drives for different things specifically, especially when it comes to scratch disk and video editing and all that stuff. It's just like, I want stuff on separate drives. It's just, if that makes any sense. Sure. And I just like the idea of having multiple drives for multiple things. I know I could, like, obviously with like the new NVMe SSDs, you're getting like 7,000 megabytes a second. Like I can obviously,
you're going to be bottlenecked.
Like I could obviously partition that into like two drives, you know, and or whatever.
Still be just fine. Yeah.
So like, I'm just, this is just,
no, you know, I mean, I do the same thing. Like I have my OS drive and two game drives, but my two game drives are just 3.5-inch SATA SSDs, right?
Yeah. So, but the upgrade will happen and we'll probably do a video on it. So, stay tuned for that, all that stuff. More videos coming. Like I said, I finally got the office set up to shoot video. It's only taken me, I've been here since what, middle of April. So it's only taken me long enough. So that stuff will be coming. But yeah, are we gaming? Are we gaming tonight?
Sure.
You said,
I don't know how late earlier. I will. I'm exhausted. I probably look like I'm about to fall asleep.
Yeah.
I'm up for it though.
Head on over to twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. We will be jumping on there after this. Thanks everybody for hanging out. Old man, thanks for hanging out. You're here pretty much every week. But thanks everybody for listening, and we'll see everybody.